Florence Stradwick was a very distinguished swimmer in the 1950s. And she had swum some significant bodies of water, including the English Channel, both ways. And so she had it in her mind that she needed to move on to the next goal, which would be the Catalina Channel that's between Catalina Island and Los Angeles. A 33 kilometers of water that was infested with sharks. Sounds like a great adventure, right? She's determined that she's going to do this, and so the day arrives, July 4th, 1952, so 70 years ago from tomorrow. Is today the 4th or the 3rd? 3rd, thank you. I was right the first time. So 70 years ago from tomorrow, she set off to swim with a special boat that would help her along the way to swim through this shark-infested waters on her way to Los Angeles. In the boat was an individual with a rifle, just in case any of the sharks came near her. The individual with the rifle would shoot into the water to scare off the sharks. And so she began to swim, knowing that she was accompanied by this boat. The problem was is that that day, the fog was incredibly thick. And she was really struggling to get her bearings, and so she swam and swam and swam. And she came to a place where she couldn't see what was before her, and she wasn't really sure her bearings, and so she finally, after many hours of swimming, gave up. They pulled Florence Stradwick into the boat. Her body was freezing cold from the cold waters of that channel. And as she sat in the boat, she was quite discouraged of having quit after having given so many hours towards the swim. But what discouraged her even more was that somebody in the boat said to her, "You'll never believe this. You wouldn't know it because of the fog, but you quit when there was only 1 mile left of your swim." Only 1 mile left. It's amazing how often we miss our goals because we don't feel we have enough within ourselves to accomplish through the difficult times. And sometimes when we're trying to go after the goals that we have in life, we exaggerate the trials and the difficulties of those goals, and we end up quitting because we believe that the trials are greater than what we have within us. The truth is, friends, when it comes to our faith, many times we back off the goals that God has for us. We back off that pursuit of going after Jesus fully with our lives because the trials seem so overwhelming. We over-exaggerate their impact upon our lives, and we underestimate the power of Jesus inside of us. We go back to 1 Peter, which we were going through this summer. Peter is quite concerned that those who are beginning to face persecution are facing a similar situation to Stradwick. That they can't see what's ahead, that they are overcome by the trials before them, over-exaggerating them, and there is a potential to quit. And this is what Peter writes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Peter's calling these Christians in Northern Asia to sustaining faith, to a faith that's there regardless of what they see. The call is not merely about crossing the line, but the call is to live with the same passion that they had when they first gave their lives to Christ. Because friends, as I've been reflecting on this message of sustaining faith, there are many in this room today and many who are watching online, you would say, "My faith is intact. I believe in Jesus." But true faith in the ancient world was not about what was taking place just up here. True faith was revealed by our loyalty lived out. And so you can have a true affirmation that Jesus Christ is Lord, but live every day of your life as if he's not. And what Peter's calling for is a sustaining faith that connects our mental beliefs with our lifestyle, that causes us to keep going with everything we have and not step back, not push away, not backslide from what we first grabbed hold of when we gave our lives to Jesus. So how do we maintain a sustaining faith? First of all, we need to estimate accurately. Estimate accurately. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Little while. You catch that phrase in the passage? A little while. It won't last forever. It's shorter than your lifespan. It's shorter than eternity. Friends, too often when we're going through trials, too often when the enemy is pushing up against us, we think to ourselves, I just need to quit because this is going to last forever. And we over-exaggerate the trial. We've had many, many meals at my house with my son and daughter-in-law. They lived with us last year for quite a number of months. And we often will have a big meal, and then the entire family gets together afterwards in the kitchen, and we're cleaning up, and we all have different chores. And my daughter-in-law, Katrina, was on put-away duty this one afternoon, or one evening. And I can't remember exactly what we had. I think we had made fajitas. But I remember going to put something into the fridge, and I saw a container just like this. I looked in my cupboard this morning for the right container. This is the medium version. I think there's one that's one size up, the large version. And what I discovered in this container was enough food to fill a very small plate of food, a very small plate. And she had this big container that had the food that was probably up to this part of the container. And I said, Katrina, what in the world are you doing? And we began to laugh. I said, you grabbed the biggest container we had to put just a little bit of food in it. I said, what, you couldn't find a Rubbermaid container to stick into our fridge? Like you found something that was way beyond what you needed to put this food into. And it's not that I was upset that she used the big container. The problem was that when I went to put food that belonged in my fridge, when I went to open the fridge and put that food into it, I had a hard time finding space for the food that needed to be in there because there was an exaggerated container with a small amount of food. Friends, sometimes we put our trials into the biggest containers of our life. We take the trials that we're facing and we put them in a container that is so big and we stick it into our life that there's no room for the faith elements that God wants to put into your life. We give way too much attention and we give it a bigger space in our lives than it should deserve. We see the problems that we're facing and we go, this is just overwhelming. And God's saying, no, it's just a little bit. It's just a little bit of a trial. It's just for a short season and you're giving it way too much space. You've estimated wrongly. Peter's saying your trials are smaller than you estimate it. How many times have you been robbed of your faith because you've been going through a difficult time and you see this trial as something massive and you only discover a short time later that it didn't have the impact that you thought it was going to have and it didn't last as long as you thought it was going to last? And yet in the time that you were facing the trial, there was a temptation to push away from God. There was a temptation to pull back on that fiery faith towards Him because you were so overwhelmed with the trial and you gave it much more space than it deserved. So how do we estimate the trials that we're facing properly? Well, I was thinking about this week and I thought, how do I get people thinking about how to properly estimate when we're going through difficulties? And I was brought to Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Familiar to many of you, it says, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, that's the good part, and a time to die, that's the bad part for some. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. That's called COVID. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time for love and a time for hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And I read this, and you have to have heard it as I shared it, that there were times for positive things and there were times for negative things. That Solomon looked at life and he says, you know, there are times that we are going to laugh, and then there are going to be some trials that we face that we're going to mourn. There are going to be times where there's going to be wars and it's going to be really, really difficult. And there's going to be times where there's just such peace in our lives. And as I reflected on this, I saw that every negative season has a segment that joins it that's a good season. And what I thought was this: I have to estimate my trials in light of my bigger story. I have to estimate my trials in light of my bigger story. You see, because when I'm mourning, I got to remember that God's got a season that's for me that's coming up where I'm going to laugh again. When I'm going through a war with somebody, I think it's overwhelming. Maybe I should push back in my faith, but I've got to remember that God's got a bigger picture for my life, and there's going to be a season of peace. When there's times where I'm having to tear things down and it's so frustrating and I think, God, this is awful, I have to remember that there's going to be a season where He's going to let me build again. You see, your life needs to be viewed from God's perspective. And friends, I want to tell you that you need to estimate your life accurately by understanding that your life isn't all a trial, that God's got good and bad times for you. And every time you're in a bad season, you need to remember that there's a season of good that will come about in your life. To estimate accurately, estimate your trials in light of a faith picture of your overall story. Secondly, reflect prayerfully. Peter goes on and he says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Verse 7. Friends, in our trials, God's doing something. In your trials, God's doing something. Trials have a purpose. And Peter uses this refining metaphor, and it's so common throughout Scripture. We see it in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, where it says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. That we go through these trials, and there is a refining process that seems to happen. I did some reading this week, and ore, when it's placed in a furnace, when ore is placed in a furnace, it's put in a furnace to remove the impurities. And that piece of ore, when it's brought up to 327 degrees Celsius, lead melts away. But if you move the temperature up to 900 to 1,000 degrees Celsius, silver is extracted from that piece of ore. But if you put the temperature to its highest point, 1,063 degrees, that's the place where you're able to extract gold. And as I started to think about that, you've got lead at 327, you increase the temperature to 900 to 1,000, you get silver. But if you bring it up to its highest temperature, you will pull away the most valuable and the most precious elements from that piece of ore. But it has to get to the hottest point. And I realize this, that the longer and hotter the furnace is burning, the more valuable things are extracted from it. And friends, some of you have faced some long and hot trials, and you're wondering what God's doing. And I'm here today to tell you that He's trying to extract the most valuable things from your life. That even if He lets the enemy create all kinds of chaos in your life, and the temperature has been brought up to 1,063 degrees Celsius, that He is trying to extract something so valuable from your life. You see, when we're facing trials, that's when people see our faith. You can't convince someone about your faith when everything's good. Oh, that's fantastic, you know. My kids are all serving Jesus. I've got $1 million in the bank. I have like a mansion. By the way, not all this stuff is true, okay? You just start going through all the things that are just like, everything in life's great. And people go, of course you serve Jesus. Look at everything you got. But when you're facing the difficult times, When you're facing the trials and you continue on serving Jesus passionately with everything you have, the fire is burning hot. It's gone for a long time. Jesus starts to extract the gold from your life to portray before the world. Look at the faith in his life. Look at the faith in her life. There's a story told about a pilot who gets on the aircom, and he starts to talk to the passengers and says, good morning, everyone. This is your pilot speaking. I hope you've enjoyed our flight. It's been a great flight so far. What I'm going to ask you to do is, those of you who are on the right side of the plane, just look out your window for a second. As you look out your window, you'll probably see that there's an engine that's shaking. Yeah, that engine's not in very good shape, but friends, don't worry. We actually have four engines on this plane. While you're looking out at the right side of the plane, you'll notice that there's the other engine that's bright, bright orange, maybe a little red. That engine's on fire. But don't worry, friends, because this plane has been designed to work on two engines, even though it has four. Now, those of you who are on the left side of the plane, we're going to ask that you look over on the outside the left side of the plane, out the window, and you will notice that one of the engines has actually fallen off. We're not sure when that took place, and we're quite amazed that we're doing so well, actually. We're down to one engine, and that may seem very, very stressful for you, but that's not really our worst problem. If you will look down the main aisle of the airplane, you'll see a significant crack in our airplane. That you can look down through this airplane, and you will be able to actually see the ocean. If you look with enough intensity, you'll actually see a yellow dinghy, which is our rescue boat. Friends, in just a few moments, I will be lowered down to that rescue boat, and I just want you to know that I will be keeping an eye on the situation and reporting as needed to you. I hope that you have a great rest of your flight. Now, let me ask you something. How much confidence do you have in this pilot if he's going into the boat? I mean, engines are falling off, they're on fire, and the guy's abandoning them, and he wants them to have confidence in the plane. You'd be like, I'm going with you. Open that crack a little bit more. I'm jumping down. You see, when you abandon in the middle of a trial, when you abandon your faith and you push away and you step back from what Jesus wants, how Jesus wants you to live in the middle of a trial, nobody is convinced of your faith. Nobody is convinced of your faith. But when you stick through it in the trial, when you say, I don't care how hot it gets, I don't care how long it gets, I'm serving Jesus, but not just mentally, I'm giving him my all, I'm serving him like I did the first day I gave my life to Jesus. When you stand through the trials, shows the world that you have incredible faith. And Peter says that what happens is that it produces praise and glory and honor. And some of you may have read that thinking that if we will just hold our faith, that Jesus would be lifted up. But the words have nothing to do with praise going to God. These are words of affirmation to the individual. And what Peter is saying is that when you go through a trial, and you stick with it so that God can extract out the best of your life, he commends you for your faithfulness. That you stick through it. He commends you for the way you kept pushing through. And I don't know about you, but I want to be commended by Jesus for sticking through the trials, no matter how long they are, no matter how difficult they are, no matter how hot they are. I want to receive his praise and glory and honor, that he would look down upon me and say, good job, Jeff. Thanks for sticking it through. When we face trials, we must reflect prayerfully on what God is doing. That's my second point, reflect prayerfully. You see, if we know that God is doing some purpose in our lives, then when we get to the trials, rather than pushing away, we need to run to God and say, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish in my life right now, Jesus? You see, some of us can't understand why the temperature is at 800, and God's like, well, you haven't allowed me to extract the best out of your life because you keep pushing away and you refuse to prayerfully reflect on what I'm doing. You're not allowing me to show you what I want to accomplish in your life. And we need to take those moments and we need to reflect so that what is being done can be revealed to us and revealed to the world and produce the commendation of Jesus Christ. Lastly, we need to respond forwardly. Verses 8 to 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, in your trials, you may not be able to see God. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes find that in the trials I face in life, God seems silent. Anybody been there before? Heaven feels like brass. You're praying and you're praying, but he just doesn't answer. And you can't see him. You can't hear him. You're praying. I pray, God, just show up in my room just so I know you're there. You're looking for something tangible, but you can't see him, Peter says. You can't see him. You can't see him, but you're in the middle of the trial. And Peter says, but you can envision what's ahead, the salvation of your souls. The salvation of your souls. What's ahead is so incredible. Friends, what's ahead beyond the trial? What's ahead beyond this life? What's ahead is so absolutely incredible. It causes us to push through the difficulties of life so that we can grab hold of what our promise is, the inheritance of our heavenly reward, and the salvation of our souls. But too often we're distracted by the trials and we can't see the good. I read this week that a little explanation for lion trainers taking a stool into the cage with a lion. First of all, I think anybody who goes into a cage with a lion that has been untamed probably needs a few sessions of counseling, okay? That's my personal belief. But they go in and they carry a stool, and I couldn't find a small stool, so I stole a little Tykes chair from the nursery. I'll put it back, by the way. So lion tamer comes in, this wild lion's in there. And as soon as the lion trainer comes in, the lion sees the man or woman, and that human becomes the goal of lunch or dinner. And what I read was that the lion trainer will bring the stool in, and if the lion starts to come towards the lion trainer, the lion tamer will put the chair like this. I don't know if you've seen this before, but this massive beast with these tear apart my body teeth is going to come at you, and you hold up a little Tykes chair. Like, that's not the weapon of choice. I think a gun, bazooka, you know, like a ninja sword or something like that. Like, that would be a chair. So what's the deal? When the lion starts to come and the chair is held up, the lion's eyes go from the lion trainer to the legs of the stool. And they begin to look at the four legs and they start to struggle as to where to focus. And they start to go leg, 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 and they keep trying to focus. And what ends up happening is the lion actually becomes paralyzed because they are so distracted about where to focus that the lion tamer has completely reduced his chance of getting eaten, and he's able to train the lion properly. And the reason why I share that is, in the middle of some of our trials, we lose sight of the goal. We lose sight because we're trying to focus on all the things that the trial's bringing to us. We're looking everywhere else but forwardly to our heavenly reward. We're looking everywhere else and we get paralyzed by our trials as if those trials are it. We become so paralyzed. The only way for us to get to our goal is to look beyond the things that have been distracting and paralyzing us and look forward to the goal, friends. To look forward to the things that God has for us. You see, we've got to look past our trials to the goal. And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 to 3 says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I keep my eyes on the goal. I keep going. I keep my eyes on the goal, friends. In every trial, you see, I know that if I can keep my eyes on Jesus, that no matter how difficult it gets to be a Christian in Canada, I've got my eyes on the goal. Someday I'm going to see him face to face. No matter what the trial I'm facing in my personal life is, and there are times that I want to give up, I want to quit, I want to go like, this Christianity stuff is ridiculous, but I keep going because I see the goal before me. I'm not going to get distracted by the legs on the chair, the things that the enemy is trying to stick up in my face. I look past the chair towards my goal that someday I'm going to stand before Jesus and I want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Friends, in the middle of your trials, do not forget your heavenly reward, the salvation of your soul. I referred to this earlier this morning, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in the fire, and they say, hey, in the middle of this trial, we think God's going to rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we're okay. Why? Because they kept their eyes on the goal. We must run focused on the goal. Don't worry about our opponent or what our opponent throws at us. You see, I see the goal, I won't quit. I see the goal, I'll run faster and harder. I see the goal, I'll stay focused. I look forward, I respond by what I see. And in every trial, you've got to keep responding by what's before you. The goal of our souls, the salvation of our souls, to see Jesus Christ. Let me land this. My wife just told me this week that I've got this new habit of saying I'm going to land the plane now, so I got to stop that. Last Sunday, I'm going to do that. Okay, here we go. There's a little boy, and he was skating. This man I'd been watching, and the little boy probably was skating like I skate, because I'm a terrible skater, never took skating lessons, so I'm just horrendous. And this little boy starts skating, and he just keeps falling down. But he's given it everything he's got, and so after some time, this boy has fallen a number of times, and his face is hitting the ice. And he keeps getting up, and he's got cuts on his face now, and there's a little bit of blood flowing down his face. The man has been watching this for the last hour, and he sees now the face of the little boy, and he can see the little streams of blood, and he can see the tears that are flowing down this little boy's face. And the man can't take it anymore. And he comes over to the little boy, and he says, "Son, let me just talk to you just for a second." He says, I know you're trying, but listen. I can see the blood on your face, and I can see the tears flowing down your face. Son, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just quit? The little boy looks at the man and says, "Mister, I didn't buy these skates to quit. I bought these skates so that I could learn how to skate. That's why I got them." And friends, I want to tell you this. That we must have a determination that says, I didn't make Jesus my Lord to quit or to back off when things got tough. I made him my Lord to follow him fully and passionately right until the end. I made him my Lord and my Savior to follow him through the thick and through the thin so I would be following with everything I have as I enter into that last breath and see him face to face. We estimate accurately, it won't last forever, friends. It won't. We reflect prayerfully, what is God trying to do in the midst of the trial? And we respond forwardly, letting every action reflect the goal. In your trials, let there be seen a sustaining faith, because you may be just 1 mile away from your goal. Don't quit now. But let's pray as we believe that God will send us out with a sustaining faith. So Jesus, today as we conclude this service, we are so thankful for what we've celebrated. We've celebrated your death and resurrection. And today, God, I'm praying that you would help us to live a life that truly shows how thankful we are, a sustaining faith. God, let us estimate properly, accurately. It won't last forever. God, let us respond according to what we see ahead, Lord. I pray that God, that we would reflect prayerfully, that we would know that you are doing something in our lives. And let us not just try to just get through the trial, but let us go through the trial with a passion for Jesus. Let us go through the trial giving everything we have, not being pushed back or pushed down by the enemy. I pray today that we would be a witness to this community of resilient faith, of sustaining faith. Help us to walk as people who truly believe in you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.